Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We're studying the book of Revelation. In this session, we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 to 18, the glory of the message. Our text for this session records John's vision of the glorified Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see three elements of that experience. First, I want you to notice the circumstances of the vision. Look at verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. John says, your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Essentially, he's saying, I'm one of you guys. We're in this thing together. The tribulation, persecution under Emperor Nero, the kingdom, the coming millennium, the patience, awaiting Christ's return. John was exiled to the island of Patmos, a Roman penal colony off the coast of Turkey. And why was he sent there? Well, he says, essentially for following God's calling to share the gospel and to witness to Jesus' salvation. He said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It was not a dream. John had a vision. He was transported awake to the spiritual realm by a vision. Acts chapter 10 in verse 11, it says, then Peter, remember when Peter, before he went to Cornelius, the centurion's house, to share the gospel with the Gentiles, he went, as they were getting ready to make the food, he went up to the roof and he went to take a nap. But it says, then Peter became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. I was in the Spirit. It's literally translated, I became in the Spirit. It was an unusual experience. On the Lord's Day, that doesn't refer to the Day of Judgment, which is what most of this book is about, but simply it refers to the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. The day when Jesus was resurrected. The day when the church had always worshipped since the resurrection. The day when believers present their gifts for the work of the kingdom. The Greek word there is kuriakos, which is the possessive lords. The same word used in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20, referring to the Lord's Supper. So the question, you know, I just ask you at this moment is, how special is the Lord's Day to you? John made a particular mention to it. And that meant something to the readers. They knew what he was talking about when he said the Lord's Day. Is the Lord's Day a routine, special part of your Christian walk? And he said there was a loud voice. God is about to do something. He described himself by his eternal nature, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And John's instructions from the Lord were to see the vision. and write what is seen and then send it. So pay attention to what you see in this vision. Write it down, what you see, and then send it. And where are you going to send it? To the seven churches, which are in Asia. And we'll come back to that later. So the first thing is, I want you to notice those circumstances of the vision. Second, I want you to notice the content of the vision. In verses 12 down to verse 16, John says, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength." Notice the Lord's position. It says he's in the midst. There's these seven lampstands, and he's in the midst of the seven lampstands. He's in a place where he's related to all of them. Well, verse 20, when you look to verse 20, that explains that those seven lampstands are the churches. So Jesus is right there in the midst of his churches. Lamps give off light for others' benefits. So the churches are to be a light to the world. And the number seven is completeness. These churches are actual local congregations, but they also represent all churches. The issues, the problems, the things going on in those seven churches represent all churches. Notice the Lord's clothing. Most probably a robe. So, what is the image? Who wears a robe? Well, a priest. A judge. So this speaks of his relationship to the church. He's the priest of his church. He's the judge of his church. So notice the Lord's picture. Verses 14 to 16 describe the risen, glorified Jesus Christ using the similes like, as. It was John's attempt at putting into words which we can understand. What he saw, he had trouble describing it. And so he would say it was like. Or he would say it was as. So how did he communicate the Lord's presence? The Lord's appearance? Well, the apostle used seven features which were unexplained deliberately. Kind of provoking multiple ideas, not one specific thing. They weren't explained. He spoke about his head. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. In this first part of verse 14. Glory. Holiness. The wisdom of age. Or purity. The word Shekinah, glory, comes to mind. His eyes, and his eyes like a flame of fire, like laser beams, penetrating, being able to see through. It speaks of judgment. All our works are before him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 13 says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Like his eyes like a flame of fire. And the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. So he has eyes that judge the works of the church. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. In verse 15, that's divine judgment, chastening, the trials of his earthly life. He was a sympathetic priest and an experienced judge. He's moving through the church. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." His voice, it says, "And his voice as the sound of many waters." It's no longer like a loud trumpet, but with authority. His right hand. He had in his right hand seven stars. Listen, his church is in his grip. He controls it. And again, the seven stars are interpreted in verse 20. Verse 20 says, of chapter 1, "The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." Who are the angels? Well, obviously the leaders of those churches, the pastors. Where are they? Listen, they're at a place of honor in Jesus' right hand. The word translated angel means messenger. His mouth. John said, "Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." The word of God, which is the basis of all judgments. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and a division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God's word makes clear, judges what's going on. His countenance, verse 16, "And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength." The sun shining in its strength touches everything. Jesus is aware of everything that's going on. So, I want you to see the content of the vision. And then third, in this passage, notice the consequences of the vision. Verses 17 and 18. "And when I saw him," John said, "I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death.'" How did John react to that? He was seeing that vision. How did he react? He was completely overwhelmed, and he became prostrate before the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, that should be our spiritual position as well. Spiritually speaking, we should be overwhelmed by Christ's presence, and we need to be prostrate in the Spirit before him. How did Jesus respond? We saw how John responded. How did Jesus respond? He gave words of comfort. And then he gave a threefold presentation of himself. He said, he indicated that he's the eternal God. "I am the first and the last." He said that he was the conqueror of death. He says, "I am who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. He's the controller of Hades and death. He said, "And I have the keys of Hades and death. This focus on the spiritual place of punishment, it places the focus there. And the exit from the physical realm, judgment and death. Jesus decides who lives. Jesus decides who dies. And He decides when that's going to occur. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And He dwells within us personally by the Holy Spirit. The apostle received this vision of Christ, and it was overwhelming to him. The only thing he could do was worship. Well, let me ask you, what does your awareness of Jesus Christ do to you? It should radically alter your life. You have a great day.